Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel on this first day of July, by the way. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like you to be a part of today's broadcast, and we invite you to call with any question or particular issue you'd like to discuss. The number is always 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. But call now because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I hope many of our callers will pick up that phone and dial us right now. Again, the number 844-322-2742. We start a new month, a month in which we here in America celebrate our independence as a nation. We celebrate our freedom as citizens, something that is vitally important to all of us. We want to be a free people, and certainly the Word of God talks about freedom. And so we're going to spend some time this month talking about the freedom that we have in Christ. And we have to ask the question, freedom from what and freedom to what? And the Bible tells us that we've been freed from sin. And I love this passage in John chapter 8. And many of us are familiar with this passage. If we're not, then we certainly ought to be. But this is a verse that I think down at the University of Texas, in one of the buildings, this verse is inscribed at the very top, and it's this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We hear that said in a lot of different settings and a lot of different contexts. But Jesus is the one who originated that statement. This is a statement that came from his mouth, his words, as the Father put these words into his mouth. He spoke them, and he spoke them for a reason. And he wants us to experience freedom. Now, the religious leaders answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you may say you will become free?" Now, if we're going to experience freedom, we have to understand what we're going to be set free from. Yeah. Now, the Jews of that day, the religious leaders, they didn't think they had a problem. They were just waiting for Messiah to come. They were waiting for him to overthrow the Roman Empire. They were waiting for him and overthrowing the Roman Empire to raise up the nation of Israel as the preeminent nation, and in so doing, then blessings could flow from Israel out into the world. Mm-hmm. But they had a problem, and that problem is not unique to them. It's a problem that we all have, a problem that we all come into the world having. And Jesus talks about that. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." There's the problem. It's a simple three-letter word, S-I-N. Sin is the problem. So if we're going to experience freedom, then that freedom is from the power of sin and death. That's what the gospel releases us from, that power that once held each and every one of us. And for goodness sakes, we all want to be released from that power. We want to live free. And there's only one way to do it, and that's through the power of Jesus Christ, the power of the grace of God. Now, he goes on to say this, "The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So Jesus is the solution to our enslavement to sin. When he sets you free, you are truly free from the power of sin and death in your life. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important because there are lots of other people, lots of philosophers, lots of religious folks, lots of politicians who will say that our problem is not sin. We know, just from living here in America, living in this world, we're going to hear this statement time and time again, that people are basically good, mm-hmm. that we're just give us the right stuff and we'll prove that we are basically good. Well, history doesn't tell that story. History is a story of a lot of bad things that have happened, a lot of evil that has taken place. Why is that the case? This three-letter word, sin. Well, if we think that everybody's okay, that we're basically good, then we're going to have to come up with another solution, another way to fix whatever problems that we're experiencing in this world. But if we recognize what the real problem is, then we can go to the one who can fix us. Yeah. And that's Jesus Christ himself. And he fixes us in such a way that we can experience freedom. So don't let anybody move you away from the central issues that we all face in life. And that central issue is, how do we go free from sin? Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the answer. His death, his burial, his resurrection. When we hold that message up, when we lift it up, then we will see people go free in Christ.
And when you've been fixed by Jesus, you have been fixed indeed.
Fixed forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not
thanks
just a temporary fix, a permanent fix.
Absolutely. Thanks for those thoughts, Bob. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We have open lines for you at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. Once again, 844-322-2742. Friends, in mid-October, Basic Gospel's Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley of The Grace Message team up to bring you an exciting Bible conference that we're calling United. And, of course, that's what these two ministries absolutely are. And you can be sure it will be filled with the message of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Information is available and registration is now open for United October 15th through the 17th at our ministry hometown of Louisville, Texas. Visit basicgospel.net/united and join us for this very, very special event. Again, all the information available at basicgospel.net/united. Hope you'll be there. Again, 844-322-2742 is the number to dial. We'd like for you to come in and pose your question or your particular issue. We'll discuss it with you on this particular edition of the Basic Gospel Radio Program. Well, Bob, we had calls that came in off hours. Let's listen to this first one right now.
Hi, this is Patty from Phoenix, and I kind of forget what the whole FEMA judgment seat and wood, hay, stubble, and I know people tend to preach it like, you know, we kind of get one last psychological shock before we go into glory, you know, or as if we need it, especially those of us who've lived through this era. So could you kind of clarify that one for me? Thank you. Bye-bye. And thanks for your ministry. And Bob, I do hope you're feeling better and recovering. So glad you're back and okay. And Bob Davis, I'm glad your surgery went well.
Wow.
I'm glad you're feeling better. Stay healthy and keep getting better. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, nice thoughts from Patty, and we appreciate that very much,
yes,
Patty.
Yes, we do. We appreciate your prayers and your well wishes. And this is a great question about the Bema seat of Jesus Christ. And love the way you put that. One last emotional sock before we go into the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Well, that's not the way the Word of God positions it at all. There's going to be a day of judgment, and that day of judgment is for everyone. And for those of us who are in Christ, our judgment is going to be eternal life. We've already been given eternal life, and that will be made even more clear for us at this time. But as far as what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, about wood, hay, and stubble and those sort of things, he says this: according to the grace of God given me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. Well, Paul is the one that took that message out into the Gentile world, and he laid that foundation in their lives, and he preached Jesus. That's what he preached. He didn't preach himself. He didn't preach any other message. He preached the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now after him, there were other people that were building on that foundation. So he says this, let each one take care how he builds upon it. So that's an encouragement. That's an admonishment. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. So how are you building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are you using building materials that are going to last, eternal building materials, or are you using worldly building materials like wood, hay, and straw? Now, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Fire is a symbol of judgment. So this fire is going to reveal the value of the work. Is it of value to the kingdom, or was it of value to something else? So if you're using eternal goods like gold, silver, and precious stones, those materials, those are going to be of value. They're going to help build up the body of Christ. These others are going to be meaningless in the long run, and we're gonna see that. So there's absolutely nothing for us to fear as far as judgment is concerned. We're going to have confidence on the day of judgment. Why? Because God has already declared us to be holy and blameless in his sight. God has already taken away our sins once and for all. God has already made us righteous, clothed us in the very righteousness of Christ Jesus. God has already made us alive together with Christ, and God has already sealed us with the promise Holy Spirit. So our eternal destiny has already been made secure and has already been made known to us. So there's absolutely nothing for us to fear as far as this day of judgment is concerned. John even talks about that in his first letter, and he says that we can have confidence on the day of judgment. Why? Because we know that our sins have been dealt with once and for all. So there's absolutely nothing that we need to fear. I think this moment where we kind of get to see our life from God's perspective is going to be a very encouraging, uplifting moment in our lives. Mm-hmm. So let's embrace it. Let's rejoice and just to see how God has used us in this life. So anything that's going to stand is something that God has done in and through us. Yeah. And that's going to be exciting to see when we can look and see all that he has done for us. So we have to realize there's some things that we're going to be involved in that are of value as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. There's other things that are going to not be so valuable. Yeah. And we're going to be able to see that. So, Patty, don't fear. This is all good as far as we believers are concerned. We can have confidence on the day of judgment, and that confidence is because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Indeed. And, Patty, again, I reiterate what Bob said. Thank you for reaching out. It's great to hear from you, and we appreciate the good thoughts that you sent our way as well. Well, again, friends, 844-322-2742. We have time on the clock. We have open lines. We want to hear from you on this edition of the Basic Gospel Program. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're going to swing down to Taylor, Texas, and see what's going on with Harold.
Hello, brothers. I'm Harold from Taylor, Texas. Could you guys shine some light on Revelations 3:16? I've read two different interpretations where the scripture is talking to an unbeliever and another where it's talking to the Lacedaemonian church believers. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Well, Harold, thanks for the question. And we do know that the first part of Revelation, the first three chapters, there are messages directed to the churches of Asia. And these were seven churches in the area that we know of as Turkey today. None of these churches are in existence. They're all in ruins. So these were contemporary messages at that time to those particular seven churches. And all of them had various problems. All of them had various issues. As far as Laodicea was concerned, they were a complacent church. They were taking their position for granted, basically, and they were lukewarm in purpose and in everything. And God was trying to shake them out of that through this particular message. And he says, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you would either be cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, we know that there is nothing in this that talks about the fact that we as individuals who are believers in Christ can lose salvation. The Word of God has made very clear to us that once we're saved, that is a forever reality. When Jesus saves, he saves us completely. He is going to preserve us to the end. He is going to present us on that day of judgment as holy and blameless. He is going to maintain this salvation for us. His life has become our life. His life is an indestructible life. We live because he lives, and because he lives forever, guess what? We're going to live forever.
Yeah.
Because his sacrifice on the cross was once for all. It was eternal in nature. Then our sins have been forgiven eternally. So we have been made alive. The sin issue has been dealt with. We have been set free from sin and death. We're on this other side experiencing eternal life by grace through faith in Jesus. So this isn't speaking to individuals, and it's not saying that, hey, if you're not living up to your calling, God's just going to spit you out. That's not what this is talking about.
Yeah.
This was trying to jar a church, a group, out of their complacency. Now, it's interesting. There were two cities, one north of Laodicea, one south of Laodicea, and both of those cities were given freshwater springs. So Hierapolis, which was north of the city, they had hot water. They had hot springs. Colossae, which was south of Laodicea, they had cold water. Now, Laodicea didn't have any water source for their own, so they had to pipe it either down from Hierapolis or up from Colossae. And in that bringing the water from those places, it lost its heat or it lost its coldness. And so when it got there, it was lukewarm. And so what John was saying is you're like your water supply.
Yeah.
You are neither hot nor cold. You've lost your purpose. You are just complacent. And he goes on to say, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. That was the attitude of that church at Laodicea. Well, he's saying, well, listen, you should realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So he's saying, hey, you need to turn back to me. And that's what this repentance is all about. You need to get your eyes off of your so-called riches and get your eyes back on me, where you can experience the riches of my grace and that you can regain your purpose as a church in this world. So
yeah.
This isn't about loss of salvation. This is just trying to shake this particular church group out of their complacency and to get them to see their real purpose as a body of believers.
Harold, great to hear from you. Thanks for reaching out. If you have further questions, of course, don't hesitate to get back in contact with us. Well, Bob, you have just recently posted a brand new video. Tell us about it.
Well, the video is on fellowship. Can a believer bounce in and out of fellowship? And certainly that is something that has been taught for years and years and years. There are a number of study Bibles. When you look at the first letter of John and the first chapter, you will see footnotes that say, hey, if you sin, you're out of fellowship. Yeah. But if you confess that sin quickly, you can get back into fellowship. Or if you do it fast enough, you'll just continue to be in continual fellowship. And because these are footnotes in the Bible, many people look at it and say, well, it must be true. It's a footnote in the Bible, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Footnotes are not inspired. They aren't inerrant. These are just the opinions, the interpretation of some translators.
Yeah.
And so they've put these in notes. But when you look at the Word of God, you realize that the gospel invites us into fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. Apart from the good news of Jesus Christ, we are outside the fellowship. We are dead in trespasses and sin. Our domain is in darkness. But the gospel, when we respond to that gospel through faith, we are transferred out of darkness and we are placed in God's marvelous light. And in this light, we have fellowship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ the Son, and with everyone else who has been transferred out of darkness and into light. Well, once you're in the light, you will never be in darkness again. That's why Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Well, if you followed Christ, that means you followed him to the cross, you died with him, and you were buried with him through spiritual baptism, and now you've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So you followed Christ through that death, and you have been placed now into light, into resurrection light. That's where you are. That's your realm of existence. You will never walk in darkness. So because you will never be in darkness, because you are in the light, guess what? You are in the fellowship. So it is impossible to bounce in and out of fellowship. And that's what this particular video is all about. We posted it earlier this week. It's already had quite a number of views and some great comments. And we certainly encourage you to take a look. And I think this is a video. There's some clarity there. I think if you have any confusion about this, I think this video will clear that up and will give you the confidence to know that because you are in Christ, you are always in fellowship. You are in the fellowship permanently. So take a look and then share it with your friends.
You can find it at basicgospel.net/YouTube.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Question from Rose. She says, the dead in Christ will rise, and so will those who are still living. In Revelation, it says God judges. He will take those out of hell also to be judged. My question is, when we die, are we resting in our bodies until the Lord takes us, or does our spirit immediately go to heaven or hell?
Well, the answer is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So when we die, when we take our last breath in these bodies of ours, we leave these bodies and we go to be with Jesus. And we're going to be with him forever. When he comes back, guess what? We're going to come back with him. And then we're going to get our resurrected bodies. And we will be with the Lord forever. So for those of us who are in Christ, when we die, when we take our last breath, we go immediately to be with the Lord Jesus.
There we go. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody, and thanks to all of you who support Basic Gospel every month. You make it possible for us to be here every weekday proclaiming the fullness of the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you missed the opportunity to make your gift as we close the fiscal year yesterday, you can still make a difference going forward by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again with us tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.